Now, obviously, this morning, I come not just on my own. I have my supermodel wife with me. And Teresa, would you just come and do that? You know, the you know, as we go, we become super uncle already. Anyway, but a woman remains supermodel. And I also have my daughter with me, okay? So this is a family picture of mine. Is it behind? Okay, fantastic. This was taken during Chinese New Year. And, you know, as kids grown, you got to show the picture on and off because kids keep on changing, you know, the way they are, especially my daughters, you know. Sometimes you wake up the next morning, you cannot recognize that's her already because they change so much, okay? I'm just kidding, okay? And obviously, all of them has evolved, you know, and looks a bit differently. We were actually planning for a family trip. And then found out that just before we left that one or two of my kids, you know, just kind of had positive and I just kind of recovered also a week plus ago, you know. So, but I want you to know that regardless of whether you are positive or negative, right, I want to encourage you that let's just always remain positive in God. Okay? Amen, amen. Okay, so, I'm kind of like that, okay. So no matter what I go through, some of you know that I just had an angioplasty, so I added a stent, okay. I did not have any symptoms. I had a stress test and review that there's some abnormality end of last year. So long story short, some of the doctors in my church kind of pieced together and helped me to go through the process the fastest way. So now that there's a stent in me. So because of that, all my English also is different. So now I understand better. And my stamina is also very good, and hopefully I'll remain outstanding. It just never ends. Okay, so yeah. Okay, so anyway, so that is where we are. Okay, so I would just want to say all that, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of a report from the regional point of view, you know, and I think I pseudo kind of lead this region, so to speak, okay? They're all together six nations. You got Indonesia, which is about 14 churches. Actually, the month of April, me and my wife are supposed to go to Indonesia for the pastor's retreat together. It was at Bali, but because of the stand, I can't stand the flight, okay? So I was advised not to travel for at least 2 months, okay? So we'll stay back and drink barley water. But anyway, this is in Bali, and 14 churches, 10 cities, great friendship with Pastor Yaya, Pastor Joe, especially Pastor Yaya, if you know, he's someone that was so instrumental to hang on for the church building that they were had. So some of you did not know the story, okay? There were so many political maneuvering to actually take away the church from their hand. And Pastor Yaya, in fact, eventually went to jail at some point because of he stood for the ground and went for trial and court cases, and they won every one of them, you know? So one of those tremendous story of how a man of God stood and did not waver in every capacity. When it wasn't in any capacity, it was his fault. He was just someone who inherited, and he was the right person at the right time, and he heard God's voice, and he decided to stand his ground. That was amazing. China, needless to say, Pastor Jackie, they were on a choo-choo train of growth. They were keep on planting churches. This year, they're going to plant six cities, new cities. They're going to moved on. And what was most exciting every time I've been with Pastor Jackie from China is the whole load of young pastors in their 20s that they are raising up. So many of them, and they are willing to give their life to serve God and avail themselves to move another city, you know. And I'm not talking about like an hour away like Alostar, Hin, okay? I'm not talking about that kind of a city. I'm talking about you moved away, take flight, and 5-6 hours, you know. I'm talking about massive movement, and I really honor his leadership for the churches in China. Then obviously, you know, Malaysia, I'll update a little bit. We kind of planted two churches just post-pandemic. I'll tell you a little bit of story. We're going to plant another one, which is on the Sunway, where it's going to be a kind of a unique service, campus service plant, first attempt ever, and then eventually, hopefully by middle of this year or moved on, we will plant another church. So we're in the smack of all those, you know, a bit more bold and trust God, maybe with a new stand, you know, just go for it, kind of a situation, okay? Obviously, Singapore, Pastor Joshua Harris, Pastor Joey, some of you know, and in fact, Joshua Harris just got back from US. We just kind of spoke the other day. Then you got Dr. Joey. He's a doctor, Pastor Joey. Pastor Dr. Joey. You know, when all this doctor and pastor, right, it depends, right? If you call him doctor name first, then you got to pay when you see consultation. But if you call him pastor first, then it's free. So it's like that one. So you better call him Pastor Dr. Joey, okay? He is our Brunei church pastor, and obviously Timor-Leste, we have one church. And Pastor Gilbert Neron, who used to pastor the church before he handed over to Pastor Tom, had this incredible story of when he handed over the church about a couple of months later, he had a stroke. And for a while, he could not move half of his body. But by the grace of God, he recovered and doing pretty well. Now that he has recovered, he's going to go to a Middle East country to plant a church. I'm just impressed with just that level of commitment that nothing can stop what God has put in our heart. And when I grow up, I want to be like that. Okay, when you grow up, you want to be like that. You want to be people whom, you know, you got stand, you serve with stand. You don't have stand, you serve without stand. But you remain serving God, right? You know, so when you are quarantined, you serve God with a quarantine mode. When you are not quarantined, you serve God without a quarantine mode. So in every capacity, as long as just who God is so amazingly in you, nothing can stop you. And when he and his family decided to go to a Middle East country to plant a new church, really a bold step, the wife was diagnosed with cancer. And I had the conversation with him after that. And he says, Pastor, is this nothing changed? You know, me and my family, we have decided that we're just going to go with it and trusting that God will lead us every step of the way. You know, I really admire and I think people as such. And I hope tell you some of this story was to help you and I to be not too Chinese. Okay, you know, sometimes we Chinese, right? Very, very true. We have all this smack of thinking that I must have a house, you know, I must have this, I must have that. And then before you consider whatever, right? But there's really another way of thinking and living that maybe you learn how to say no to certain things and learn how to say yes to certain things that God has for you, okay? And I'm just saying that humbly, but I think there's a reality of loving to see who God is expressed greater in our capacity, okay? So we planted Every Nation Church from Bio. This is our first service. I'll tell you a little bit more story, maybe potentially if you have time later. And then this is our Setapak Church, a very new church. They're all young people, all below 30 years old. About maybe 20 plus 30 of them. It's really a bold step because Setapak is like 40 minutes away from where we are, but there's a big university, Tar College there. So the reason we decided to do that was because we have one of our young adults who sort of had a certain program that is able to be in touch with the freshies that comes into Tar College. And during our pandemic MCO season, one of the lecturer got saved. So it was a combination of different factors that propelled us. After we prayed, we decided we're going to take a step of faith. So I just started. It's only about a month old or slightly more than that. And the other day, one of our new friends that I met, which is about 33 years old, he went there. He's from Setapak. And he said, Pastor, I really enjoyed it because everybody is young people. Of course, he's single. It's Setapak. And then we are going to have our Sunway plan. Maybe we have about 30 students or so from Sunway, so we're going to take a step of faith to plant a location 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes away. We literally monitor that walk to make sure it's less than 5 minutes away. And then we plan to do weeknight services, not weekend, so that we can catch students, you know, and then have value added to work with, you know. So all these things are happening right after MCO. So you can imagine, right, we have just a lot of things on our plate. And obviously to accompany with that, with all the cases high and low, we can expect anything. Last weekend, the drummer cannot make it because tested positive in the morning. Then we just go without drum. We have enough to, but you know, I'm happy to go without, you know, but the gospel cannot go without. Can I go to amen? All right. So we always believe in that. Okay, now, I want to talk about abound, okay? Kind of a strange word actually for a title of a message, but abound was really I decided to preach about this because Pastor Jonathan was updating me that you all have been doing Abide for 9 weekends. Wow, that's the longest Abide ever, okay? So in terms of Every Nation World, you abided, okay? The longest, okay? You not only abide, you abide. Okay, that's what you did, okay? So fantastic, okay? So compared to all the Every Nation World, we only had like maximum 6, you know, some 4, some 3. You did 9, okay? So I want you to know that you set the record, okay? Fantastic, okay? And he told me, Pastor, we just finished Abide. So I decided then to do Abound, okay? And the concept is this, okay? The concept is, now you can read that little phrase, yeah? Where one abides in one abounds with. That's technically the concept, okay? Which means that if you found yourself abide in something, the end result is you are abound with it, okay? You kind of show forth the abiding that you had, you know? Just from a more a bit joking kind of point of view. I don't know whether when we were growing up, right? My dad always will use this phrase, okay? Like sometimes, you know, as he feed us a lot, and then when he asked us to carry things, right? We were like, Dad, you know, bola, you know. Then my dad will always say, chi liao bi, okay? That means you wasted all the rice that I invested in you, okay? He says, how come you cannot carry this, okay? And you know, sometimes we abide in something, but we did not abound with supposedly the things that we abide. You get that little tension, okay? Or what is real is this COVID-19 has described and defined different people's abide. Some of us are so much into COVID that you almost become the next person than this Dr. Hisham when it comes to COVID. You know the latest report because you immerse yourself so into it. You know, right, when you go out and say, hey, today 3,000 cases. No, Pastor, it's 3,294 cases, okay? Oh, wow, how did you know? Because I check on it every day. You know what I'm saying? You are like breaking news online, you know, and you are like the expert when it comes to all this. Because that's where you abide. You had so much data, you had so much statistics, you put so much thoughts into it, you had sleepless night over it, you know medical view, you know doctor view, you know Pfizer, you know, you had every piece of information, including gossip and false news or good news. You had it all because that's your abide. Some of us, we abide in a depressive mode. I will never forget, I had a conversation with a very bright engineer, very in his early 30s, and I never expected the depressive thought that he went through. He says, you know, Pastor, I was alone, I stayed by myself, and I realized I could not handle the COVID situation, you know, and then he says, I had a neighbor, and every noise from the neighbor just so drive me unto madness. And he says, there's one particular night, they on the music too loud. I was so angry, so mad, that I wanted to bang myself against the wall and kill myself. I mean, this is a bright engineer, looks so like, you know, one of the best men, you know, I mean, available. I mean, and when he shared about the internal world of what he has to go through, some of his depressive thought, which really lead me to one of a depressed person that me and my wife kind of journeyed through. And this person described for about 1 month, stayed in the room without seeing sunlight. 1 month. Just literally dark in the room. And I said, what did you eat? We just eat whatever I have, you know, biscuit. He says, what woke me up one day was when I came down from the bed, I stepped on something that wriggles. And I switched on the light, and my room was full of maggots. And that was the day I realized how bad I was. Now, everyone that sort of abide in a very definite environment shows an abound with all that you experience. So someone who lives in fear, it shows off very clearly. The moment they walk out, right, those who are fearful with COVID, right, you know they had spray everywhere, when they have in the car, they have in the pocket, they have in the neck, you know, they just have everywhere, right? Everything they touch, before they sit on the table, they spray the whole table one. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now I'm not ridiculing that. I'm helping to derive a point because your abide will always define your abound. That's just the principle of life. So I'm trying to help Every Nation Church, Penang, online, offline, whatever, that you will consider for 9 weeks of abide, what are you abound with? For 9 weeks, don't be chiliao bi kind, okay? That's the way my father called it, okay? So for 9 weeks of just abiding, understand the word of God and takes you from evil, guides you, leads you, feeds you, protects you, whatever. What are we abound with? What are we filled with? How are we going to live our life a little bit differently? Okay, so this whole entire concept of abide and abound, I think it's just very real. And I want you to kind of reflect on it, right? As we kind of, okay, now this is, there's a little bit of a tension, but there's a reality of tension. What's the tension? The tension is sometimes we abide in something, but we never abound with the right thing that we're supposed to be. And especially for Christianity, right? Always this little tension. And the tension is, I so like everything I experience in God, but do I actually take that experience and share it with someone else? That's the reality of tension. You see that tension in Isaiah. When Isaiah 6, the Bible talk about, he saw God in the temple and the presence and the glory of God fills the entire temple. He was just describing that. For some of us, we will continue to describe that for the next 30 days. Because that is what we are abide with, you know. But for Isaiah, at some point, God turns his abide and abound with a little thought about, he says, Isaiah, who can I send? There's always the tension of Great Commandment and Great Commission, and I want to kind of tie both together. And you will find that in throughout the Bible when Peter and John, they were with Jesus, they were at Mount Transfiguration. Remember the story? And then the Bible says the glory of God came, and Peter, being Peter, was so excited, he then turns to Jesus. He said, maybe you should build a house here. Let's stay here. You know, let's build a house with, you know, three-story one. And then, I'm just kidding, okay? And let's really... And then Jesus said, no, we got to go down. And I think that's the reality. And sometimes it depends on what is your background and upbringing of the different churches that you exist. But in my humble opinion, most of the time, we are professional in abiding in God. And oftentimes we do not abound with the love of God for people who do not know God. And that's just my humble opinion. How do I do that? Because I've been a recipient for that for the longest time of my life. So you potentially heard me share before, in the book of Acts, when Jesus resurrected and the church was birthed, the church had every reason to remain in Jerusalem. And you know, there were so many great things that can happen in Jerusalem. You have the best Bible teacher. They will teach, and you can have Mary, the mother of Jesus, who teach how to raise God as parenting class. You can have Peter who come and say that how to walk on water. You can have so many classes. Keep on keeping the Christian community happy where we are for the rest of our life. But you know that God did not meant that to be. Because the Bible says, it says, when the host will come upon you, you shall be my witness, right, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the arts of the world. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible tells us, persecution came and they were dispersed. And that was really the abound. Not out of their desire, but purely out of persecution. You know, one of the conversations I had with Pastor Jackie was this. Pastor Jackie told me this. He says, because of the persecution in China, They're all spread over. So Xiamen used to be, let's say, I can't recall, there's one particular church in Xiamen, the biggest church. Because of a persecution shutdown, they planted another 5 church. Yeah. And somehow, it was so full of God that they never took and all this thing and just be sad over it. And they overcame it, even with a greater understanding. Okay, now, so in the New Testament, there are 3 things we want to, the Bible clearly talk about abound. 3 things, okay? I'm going to park on one and then just give you 1 or 2, okay? The first one, Romans 15 verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may, read together, abound in hope. And so the more you abide in God, one of the things that we express in our life is we're just full of hope. I don't know how to say it, okay, but generally, I am very hopeful kind of a person. And no matter what I go through in life, I always believe that with God, we will always write the best chapter of our next chapter. Now, whether we go through difficulties or but we are just full of hope. I believe it was William Booth, who Salvation Army, when he was serving, and when he was about 80 plus years old, he went blind. And the son was very disappointed with God. And the son came to the father, he says, "This is that." He says, "How could God do this to you?" He says that you were serving God so faithfully, and now, see, you're struck with blindness. And William Booth, in his biography, told the son, he says, "Son," he says, "this is how I am." He says, "I used to serve God with eyes, now with sights, now I serve God without sights. It doesn't change." And you know that something about hope that has to go beyond human and earthly bound. You know that. You know that for us to be hopeful and full of hope kind of people, we have to go beyond what you and I experience on our daily basis. You know, some of us, right, come to church, tire puncture, we are like, we curse God already. We are like, I want you to be bigger than a punctured tire. Come on, woo, amen. I want you to be bigger than a handphone that you got lost. I want you to be bigger than the little bump of accident that you come on the way to church. It doesn't matter. Our hope has to be way greater. And that's why in Peter, he says, you put every inch of hope in Christ and not in this world. And the Bible says you should be full of hope. So can you imagine if the next 1 year, this year 2022, you go into your office, your hope is hope 2.0. It's totally another category. People was like, "What's going to happen? I lose my job." Then you just someone that speak that words of hope, that can just kind of, you know, tell you a couple of stories in every one of them. But this story comes to my mind. Some of you may have heard it before because I think I preach about it in our Build conference, the last message. Okay, but during MCO, I had a couple that joined our Discovering God. This couple, when they joined, and I still remember that I did not know they exist as a couple. First time, second time, third time, the husband reached out to me. That's also because I kind of, you know, get in touch with every participant, just say hi, you know. So the husband got in touch with me and says, "Hey, is this Pastor Tim?" He says, "Actually, me and my wife is in." I said, "Oh, really, you and your wife?" I said, yeah, but we were in different computer, we were not together. I said, okay. And then the person said that, "Pastor, actually, me and my wife decided that we wanted to meet you, if possible, and then Malaysia, by then we are a little open, you can have not more than four people in the table." So I still remember I met him in a mamak, and we came together, and the first time they sat down, they told me, me and my wife want to tell you everything about our life. And then they told the story. The story was, he said, we were actually about to divorce. And then one of the church members of yours that we bumped across came and told us and throw us this question. He says, "Why don't you give God a chance?" So they said, "Oh, okay, maybe can. Never ma, never try ma, never know." So then you come for Discovering God. Now, Discovering God really is not a platform to give God a chance for your marriage because it doesn't talk about marriage. But somehow they came, so they decided then to meet up with me, and they said, "Okay, so we want to know how does giving God a chance looks like." And both of us have decided to go divorce. And then they told me their problem. And it's really a big problem. It has a problem with in-laws. It has a problem with intimacy because the guy kind of fling around and then the wife got sexually transmitted disease. It's a problem of finance. It's every imaginable problem in marriage all happens in one. Okay? So here am I sitting down. So very quickly, after I stack up the problem, I said, "This is beyond human. This one, you really need God." I said, "You need to invite God into this problem and then go by God's principle, trust God." So I just kind of sell them the idea. And the funny part was this. Then the husband told me, he says, "But Pastor, I don't know anything about God. I just attended two sessions about you tell me who God is. I cannot trust God 100% because I cannot." So I look at him, I said, "How many percent can you trust?" He says, "I can trust 50%. I said, "I take 50%, can." Okay, so seriously. So I said, "Okay, this is how 50% trust in God looks like." I said, "I'm going to lead you in the 50% prayer to invite God." You know, they have no experience God. So they actually did that. So this is my prayer. "Dear God, I can only give you 50%. I invite you into my heart 50%. 50% forgive my sin." I literally, everything about a senior prayer, I cut 50%. Okay. So it wasn't funny to them because it was real to them. It was funny to us, right? But I take the 50%. But you know why? Because I am full and abound with hope. I know that no matter how hopeless the situation, you add God into the equation, it raises the hope tremendously. So I told them like that. I said, but I said, I'm going to follow up with you every week. And hopefully every week we can increase 1%, 2%. I said, okay, Pastor, I'm open. So they prayed a 50% prayer and they walked away. Every week I text them. I said, hey, how are you today? You know, and they said, Pastor, not bad. You know, and after about 3 to 4 weeks, that's all. And then they text me one day. It's Pastor, when are you free? We are ready for another round, Mama. I said, sure. And that was just honestly 2 days before another lockdown. So we met, and the first time they sat down, the first question they asked is, Pastor, how can we get 100%? That was the first question. How can we get 100%? And then he went on to talk about what God did in his life, especially with the mother-in-law. He talked about, Pastor, you know, I really hated my mother-in-law, blah, 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 you know, and all this. And now I feel I'm gentle towards her now. I feel I can embrace her. You know? And then the wife began to talk about, you know, I hated this guy because he brought sexually transmitted disease. I'm going to, you know, but I don't know. I saw the changes in him. And then he began to talk about how God came through for him in his work, in his mother-in-law. Blah, 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 blah. And then he went through. And then after he finished his story, he turned to the wife and said, now your turn to tell your story. And then the wife tells the story, you know, and I'm just listening. At the end, I now lead them 100% prayer. And I'll say, girl, God, I'm ready to give you 100%. You know, now they are in live group, growing with us. The wife is pregnant. I just had a word with them a couple of days ago. They were so grateful to God. And I just want you to know, when you live and filled with the hope that is given by God, not a hope that is because you get extra raise, not the kind of hope because you went for a checkup and then you say, oh, you were fine. I mean, those are fantastic. Those are great, okay? But I'm talking beyond that. I'm talking about a trust that you can put into God's hand. It says, God, you direct and maneuver the traffic, all right? And then the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, I got to choo-choo train a little bit. It says, may the Lord make you increase and, read it together, abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. You know, so the other thing that we should just fill with, not just hope, is really filled with love for one another. I don't know how to say this. And I think a lot of misunderstanding of how the world look at Christianity is because we say so much, we love too little. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the tension of sometimes how homosexual will feel, it's because we say too much, but I think we love too little. We need to change the game to be loving a lot and then say as little. And I think that's the way it is. And I think love is incredibly powerful. But love will cost. Love will cost. Most of us love out of convenience. But we do not know love out of real commitment, that it will cost. This is an example that I can think of. Actually, I have few, okay? But if you come to our church, there's this particular... How many of you... You all know Wilson and Corinne, right? The dad comes to later o'clock, 4 o'clock? Okay. No, he doesn't. Okay, never mind. Okay, but you're... Oh, this isn't... No, okay. Got it. I think I know why. Anyway, Wilson Corinne is a good friend, okay? And obviously, he's a good friend of Pastor Jonathan. The story was Corinne came to our church about 2018. She got saved. Then she brought Wilson, the husband. So I've been trying to reach out to Wilson, but I always put an arms away. But when I was doing my Witten in August, September, I was traveling in US, July, August. I received a text, and it was Wilson. Wilson says, Pastor Tim, he says, sorry, you know, I needed to meet with you because I struggle a bit with this season of my life. For the first time, Wilson initiated. I was so happy. So I told Wilson, I'm in US now, but the day I come back, I'll make my time to see you by hook or by crook. So I arrived back on that, let's say Sunday night, and on Monday, I had a whole string of meetings after, you know, in US. And I still remember that particular night, I parked myself in in-house cafe. Okay, I parked myself. And I had like 4 meetings since 6 p.m. So 6 p.m., I'll drink yam cha with people. 7 p.m., I'll have dinner with people. Then 8:30, I'll meet with a Chinese church leader. And I just moved one table to another table. Okay, I just, you know, I just, of course, my wife is here, so I drink water. No, I'm just kidding, okay? I drink teh tarik a bit, you know, then drink water, okay? So I was just doing all of that with awe. And by the time I had Wilson, it was 11:30 p.m., okay? But I knew that I need to make that time for him because he reached out to me and I do not want to turn him down. I want to put the highest priority that I can slip in my smack of time that I had. You know, by 11:30 p.m. and after back from U.S. the whole day, didn't rest, you are really jet-lagged to the max. By 11:30 p.m., I literally have to put toothpick to make my eyes awake, you know. And I still remember 11:30, I was so jet-lagged. He sat down in front of me. He told me some of his scenario. I gave him a couple of advice. In hindsight, I forgot what advice did I give him. But out of jet-lag, but it turns out to be great advice. So the best time to talk to me is when I'm jet-lagged, I realize. Okay, so after I gave him whatever advices, and then he went back. He was so grateful. We finished about 12:30. Went back home, slept. And 4 days ago, he texted me. He says, Pastor Tim, he says, your advice was fantastic. I saw God working in my scenario. I basically asked him to invite God into his situation. And of course, I gave him the practical handles of what is the right principle you should apply. Okay? So he did that. It works amazingly. He texted me, Pastor. And then on Sunday, when I arrived church, he stands there. And then he says, Pastor Tim, how can I become a Christian? You know, if I did not take that slot, I don't know. I'm sure he will become a Christian at some point, I'm sure. But something about love that will cause your sleep. Something about love that will cause you inconvenience. And the Bible tells us that we should be people who is full of love. And so that we're able to express that to people around us. Okay, one last, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says that, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, read together always, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So the Bible tells us, you know, this season, the whole pandemic, to a lot of people, they were so abound with fear, concern, and worries. And potentially abounding in the work of the Lord is the least. And I am in no capacity wanting to put a weight upon you. No, I know all of us have our own challenges, difficulties. I fully understand that. But I want to encourage you, if you were to abide in who God is, somehow the thought about God is bigger than all those will kind of exist in your thinking and value, and you're always wanting to see, even in the midst of pandemic, right, how can I actually show the love of God? And just a quick story. This story was kind of made meaningful, especially personally for me, was this particular person. Her name is Game. Game is one of our church members. This year, she's going to be a leader. She accepted Christ last year. So the story was, I needed to interview 5 to 8 people who do not know God in my written assignment. And the way we do the interview is, we cannot give answer. We need to force ourselves not to talk. We can only listen and write. Okay? So Game was one of our church friends who said, Pastor, this person is willing for you to interview. I interview her. I ask 6, 7, 8 questions about how she think about faith. She tells me everything. I have to control myself. Say, oh, thank you. You know, good, fantastic. Okay, you know, so I note down whatever I need to lah. Okay? After all of that, then just before we left, I said, oh, I found that you are kind of in between job. I said, 2 weeks from now, we're going to do a Discovering God. I said, would you have any chance you want to visit us? And then she said, let me think about it lah, huh? So after she thought about it, she said, okay, Pastor, I'll come one time and then I'll see how it goes. She came one time. She then decided to stay for the throughout, which is 4 sessions. And at the end of the 4 sessions, she gave her life to Jesus. A year later, so she got saved in 2020, which is end of last year, somewhere in October, in our prayer meet. After the prayer meet, she texted me this. She said, Pastor Tim, I just want to say thank you for introducing who God is to me. If you have not interviewed me, I wouldn't know anything about God. If you would not have invited me for Discovering, I knew nothing about God. She said, tonight, in the prayer meet, I was so overwhelmed with God's love. I wept and wept and wept. God can never be so real to my life. And she began to just, you know, just all that little changes. So I want you to know, and I hope I'm able to just impart a way of thinking. I impart a can-do spirit. Impart a, no matter what it is, there's always a way the gospel can be expressed to my friends around me. And I know the COVID is there. And in the future, you're going to have COVID plus. You're going to have everything. But can I encourage you all? If we abide in COVID, we will never be abound with who God is. But if we take whatever that we struggle with, put it in Christ, we abide in God in the midst of all that, then I think what comes out of it was really a lot of hope, a lot of love, a lot of grace, a lot of purpose, that God can take this and just bless everyone that God has put around us. Okay, my final thought. God is able to make all grace abound to you, all grace, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The Bible says all grace to us, abound in good works to everybody. So, wrap it up. In pandemic, we decided to relook at the church and we desire to write a church planting page. So I identified 7 locations that we possibly can plant a church. Initially, it wasn't a church planting. Initially, it was wanting to gather people to watch the service together. That was what we started with. But as we go, we decided that, hey, maybe we can plant a church. And one thing leads to another, one thing leads to another, one conversation leads to another. We did it. But a quick completing story, just to show the grace abound to us. When I decided to plant churches, it costs money, okay? When I decided to do that, absolutely, I did not know what happens after a month. A month later, I received a call from a businessman. This businessman, I had the greatest opportunity to lead him to Christ, but he's not in Malaysia. He's overseas. So he called from overseas. He says, Pastor Tim, he knows nothing of what we want to do, but he's a friend. He says, Pastor Tim, you know, I really like what you all do in Every Nation. He doesn't belong to Every Nation, honestly. But he says, I really like what you do. He says, I've decided to invest $300,000 every year without fail to you, and you decide what you want to do for the church. And that was just a month after we decided we're going to plant the church. And the first batch that came in, it wasn't 300, it was 600,000. It was the whatever amount that we ever needed for anything. We didn't ask for it. Not that money is everything, but and I stand before God. I says, God, you are the one that's able to make all grace abound to us so that we abound in every good work. I just want to say, Every Nation Church Penang, it's great to abide. Let's make sure we abound full of hope, full of love, full of the work of God. Let me pray for you. Lord, I'm so grateful that I get to be with this church. And every time I come here, I'm so encouraged by the faith, by what everybody does in building the church together. I pray today, as I preach this simple word, Lord, that you help us to think about what are we filled with. And I pray that we'll be filled with the hope of God, the love of God, and the works of God, no matter at what season of our life. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.